This is Agriculture Today.
U.S. beef processors navigating the tightest cattle supplies in decades, but Cargill says has no plans to close any primary beef plants, even as Tyson prepares to shut Lexington, Nebraska, and scale back in Amarillo, Texas. For producers, it signals widening differences in how major packers are responding to shrinking cattle numbers, rising procurement costs, and restricted imports from Mexico due to screwworm controls. Cargill confirmed it will continue operating all 8 of its North American slaughter plants and is investing in modernization. It includes a $90 million upgrade at its Fort Morgan, Colorado facility. Stance contrasts sharply with Tyson's expected 7% national capacity reduction, which will narrow competitive bids in parts of Nebraska, Kansas, and the Texas Panhandle. Other packers remain stable. JBS and National Beef report no pending closures. Several regional plants built after the pandemic continue running, though some operate below intended throughput. Looking ahead, tight feeder supplies may still pressure margins across plants through 2026. Grain transportation networks are under heavy pressure this fall as U.S. grain supplies exceed available storage for the first time since 2016. USDA is estimating that total fall grain supplies will total 25.66 billion bushels, about 10% above average, leaves a national storage deficit of 184 million bushels. That shortage is forcing more grain into rapid movement, heightening demand for rail, barge, and truck capacity heading into winter. States with the deepest storage deficits include Iowa, Kansas, South and North Dakota, Nebraska, and Minnesota. Same states now account for most of the emergency storage authorized under the U.S. Warehouse Act. Rail traffic responding with Kansas, Minnesota, and South Dakota, each loading significantly more grain cars over the past 6 weeks. Producers also seen infrastructure support expand. In Ohio, $500,000 state grant will help rehabilitate R.J. Corman's Western Ohio lanes, improved access for multiple grain elevators tied to CSX and Norfolk Southern. Meanwhile, Iowa temporarily suspended weight limits for grain and fertilizer transport through December 19th. Cotton-producing nations heading into next year's ministerial conference with a sharper focus on market transparency, domestic support reforms, and value chain investment. The latest briefing from the International Cotton Advisory Committee, or ICAC, shows global cotton production holding near 25.4 million tons, roughly 116.7 million bales, with consumption dipping slightly to 114.7 million bales. ICAC also highlighting the rapid expansion of specialty cotton. It now accounts for 1/3 of global lint as demand grows for long staple and certified sustainability programs. It's Agriculture Today.
This land, there's no more perfect place on earth. It provides more than the crop you grow or the herd you tend. It gives you purpose. And to help young, beginning, and small farmers fulfill their purpose, Capital Farm Credit is here for you. Our decades of experience providing advice, products, and opportunities can help you build a life on the land you love most. To learn more, visit CapitalFarmCredit.com. Capital Farm Credit. Together, we're better.
When it comes to ag chemical application, make sure your equipment delivers. For years, growers and custom commercial applicators alike have depended on Wiley sprayers and Case IH application equipment from Wiley Implement and Spray Center. Wiley offers new and used self-propelled sprayers, as well as our own line of pull-type sprayers for any size operation. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
There is a lot of connection when you look at where things are at.
Ken, Tyson's latest news on a plant closure and scaling back another, along with the Mexican border being closed to feeders and Brazilian beef imports, all be linked together. Hiram Egbert is founder of the newsletter, The Big Bad Beef Packer.
The industry, the packing industry specifically, is at a point of hitting major losses across the board. We continue to see that every single day that packers are running. And unfortunately, it has to do with the low cattle numbers that we see out here. The cattle herd is at the lowest level we've been in 70 years. And it's cyclical. We knew this was coming, to your point, boiling over. We knew this was coming from a long ways out, but the industry is currently here. So on one hand, you have Lexington, Nebraska, and Amarillo, Texas, in the heart of beef country. Packing capacity is heavy in those areas, and the cattle, which is at the lowest level in 70 years, is not as heavy as it once was. So you have fewer places to get cattle. On the flip side, you have Mexico border being closed. There's thoughts of it opening, but up until this point, we have not seen that happen due to the New World screwworm, which continues to pose a threat to domestic production in the United States. As that has been the case, there's no cattle coming up from Mexico into the U.S., which greatly helps the Texas area specifically in terms of the number of head that would normally come across the border, about 1 million head. And then, of course, on the other side of it, you have Brazil. And, you know, the Brazil ad valorem tariffs that were taken off, 40% that was taken off, that's going to have an effect on trim that's coming up into the United States. Typically, that's going to go into your burgers, you know, any of your frozen meals, anything that allows for the frozen trim and ground beef.
And he admits markets can trade on emotion.
Especially in the last 6 months, this market has become more and more emotional. It is across the board emotion playing into it. Now, I do believe that the futures had been pricing in the risk for Brazil relief and the Mexico border potentially opening. However, there's no way that it accounted for one plant going down and another one going to a single shift. You saw that today in the futures markets that hit limit down very quickly, first thing in the morning. And that's, take that on one hand. On the other hand, you also had the cattle on feed report come out, and you had the lowest ever placements for October since the report has been published. So that would normally be bullish to futures, but even with that being bullish to futures, the mere fact that a plant's going down, and not just a small one, a large plant, and another one going to one shift, that took down limit today, and who knows what tomorrow's going to bring on the futures. So to answer your question, it's very emotional, and there's a lot riding on where people's heads are at and how they see the future.
It's Agriculture Today.
Let's talk about cotton research. Cotton Incorporated funds more than 400 ag research projects every year. They study cotton, engineering, economic development, entomology, agronomy, pathology, variety selection, expanded cotton seed uses. And that's just the start. You grow the cotton research and promotion program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
This is Ben Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally at Scott Land Company sold thousands of acres of irrigated land, dry land, and CRP in Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Colorado. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698. That'll get Ben Scott. We really need listings on all types of property.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
We've had, about three area-wide freezes now, but each of those three times, the temperatures have just hovered at or just below that freezing point.
Mark Brown is Director of Field Services with Lubbock-based Plains Cotton Growers.
And so we really have cotton that I still continue to hear about that has some green tissue in it, and farmers are concerned about getting into those crops and problems that might pose for them. Now, one good thing that we can talk about is that as we look at the 10-day forecast, as we come up into the first week of December, in the early part of that week, we do have some very cold weather that is coming through. And so I anticipate that we'll finally get that killing freeze, and that should finish conditioning these remaining cotton crops on down. In terms of, Tony, let me mention in terms of where we're at on the harvest out in the fields, I would say that across the Plains Cotton Growers, the 42-county growing area that we're in, we are probably somewhere in the range of 80 or 90% off of the stalk or completed with the harvest. And we have that cotton sitting in the module, either on the turn row or in the gin yard. However, there are some areas, just as we've talked about, that might have later planted cotton or whatever the situation may be. In fact, I was through Terry County just today, and I know that they may not even be half complete and as far as the harvest situation goes. And there are other counties that are in that situation where as you drive through pockets, we may be only 50 or 60% complete on the harvest. So we've still got a ways to go. But as in most years, I think the majority of the cotton harvest is going to be complete during this week of Thanksgiving if the weather continues to hold out well. And then the gins, I've spoken with gins. Some of them have a month out of ginning to go of the number of modules that have been turned in to them and that are either on the gin yard or out in the field waiting to be picked up. But I anticipate that as we get close to Christmas, again, if we don't have any unforeseen weather delays, then I would expect that most of the ginning will be wrapped up by Christmas time or certainly by New Year's Day. And I'm sure there will be a little bit of ginning still ongoing, but hopefully we'll have things wrapped up by then. And finally, as we track this cotton on down through the process, we can actually go and look at those weekly reports of what is being run through the USDA cotton classing offices, both in Lubbock and in La Mesa. And whenever we add that up, as of last week's report, those two offices combined had classed samples from over 855,000 bales. And the Lubbock office was estimating that based off of their projections that they're somewhere in the range of 30% completed in terms of actually having samples done on those bales, in which, of course, those bales will end up either in the warehouse or moving through the retail chain and moving on through and going to going to the textile mills.
It's Agriculture Today.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
This is Agriculture Today.
You know, you're correct with, the idea on the fundamentals.
Donna Hughes is with Stone X.
We're short cattle. I mean, all we have to do is look at the daily cattle slaughters, the weekly cattle slaughters, and we could see against year-ago levels that we're killing a lot less cattle. Now, the one thing is that, you know, there's a lot of cattle that are heavier than they were a year ago. Feedlots were keeping cattle longer and so putting on more weight. And so, you know, that accounts for some of it. But we do know that the Mexican border has been closed for quite some time, so we don't have those cattle to supply our southern regions. And so with that, lower cattle numbers, you would think that, you know, this market would continue to stay supported. Well, one of the other things that has been happening through that great upward movement throughout this past year is the fact that the funds have been heavily investing into the livestock markets. And so as the markets start climbing higher and the funds start investing more, they put a lot of money into these pricing mechanisms. And so as the markets go higher, some of it may not be about so much about fundamentals, but more about the inflated prices that the funds are able to have these markets get to by these large investments. And so the thing that we saw begin to take things down were headlines. We had a couple of quote-unquote truths or tweets out of Washington. We had some comments by USDA Ag Secretary. There's been a few things that have kind of started to fracture the strong support that there was in the market. And with the fracture came a lot of nervousness, a lot of anxiety. The funds don't like drama. The funds like to book profits. And so we saw the funds beginning to exit positions. And so the selling began to feed on itself. And, you know, people watch the open interest in the different contracts. And when they see the funds exiting, that gives people ideas that they may need to be doing the same thing. And so you just kind of have a contagion effect. And so that's basically what we've been seeing over the past 3 to 4 weeks. And so here we are now below $3 on some of these deferred contracts. And it's come very quickly. And that's the way the markets work sometimes.
So what about looking down the road? Brian Hoops with Midwest Market Solutions.
If these placements are accurate and our numbers are down this much, those summer contracts are probably well undervalued. If we're placing that few of cattle, you look at June cattle that were hovering around 203, 204 this morning, traded higher today, those are probably still very cheap compared to where we traded at this fall. And there may be a big rally coming at some point when we can get past this negative news and get the trend turned back to the plus side. There may be some really good bright days ahead in 2026 for the cattlemen.
It's Agriculture Today.
The 2025 Amarillo Farm and Ranch Show is coming December 2nd through 4th at the Amarillo Civic Center. See nearly 500 exhibitors featuring the latest tractors, technology, and equipment. Attend CEU sessions with agriculture experts, network with fellow producers, and find great deals on seeds, feed, and fencing. Don't miss it. Mark your calendars for the 2025 Amarillo Farm and Ranch Show, December 2nd through 4th at the Amarillo Civic Center.
Attention farmers, Jim and Jody Johnson are retiring and their premium equipment is heading to Purple Waves December 30th Ag Auction. Don't miss their 2024 John Deere ExactEmerge 1775 NT Planter and 2019 John Deere S760 Combine. This retirement auction features well-maintained machinery that's been part of a successful farming operation with equipment located in Osage, Iowa. Everything sells. Absolute no reserve to the highest bidder. Visit purplewave.com for details. Purple Wave Auction, straight, simple, sold.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency issued a Waters of the U.S. proposed final rule consistent with the U.S. Supreme Court's 2023 interpretation of the scope of the Clean Water Act jurisdiction. This updated rule will cut red tape and provide predictability, consistency, and clarity for U.S. pork producers. In April 2023, the Waters Advocacy Coalition, of which the National Pork Producers Council, NPPC, is a member, asked EPA to overhaul the Biden administration's August 2023 WOTUS regulation. In May, the High Court limited EPA's authority over waterways, stating that CWA Waters refers only to geographical features that are described in ordinary parlance as streams, oceans, rivers, and lakes, and to adjacent wetlands that are indistinguishable from those bodies of water due to a continuous surface connection. The Biden WOTUS rule went as far as counting drains, ditches, stock ponds, and even low spots on farmlands as CWA waters. This overly broad definition could have required CWA permits for routine farming activities near those waters and subjected producers to penalties for violations. Elsewhere, Congressional Agriculture Trade Caucus co-chairs, Representatives Jim Costa of California, Dusty Johnson of South Dakota, Jimmy Panetta of California, and Adrian Smith of Nebraska led more than 100 members of the House of Representatives in urging the Office of the U.S. Trade Representative to carefully examine changes to the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement, citing the benefits it has had already for U.S. ag producers. The United States, Canada, and Mexico are scheduled for a joint review of the trade agreement in July and may amend it. In a November 20th letter to USTR Ambassador Jameson Greer, the lawmaker said the outcome of the review should advance American agriculture and food production, and they asked the trade agency to work closely with Congress and consider the significant positive impact that North American trade has on our communities. Any changes to the agreement should be carefully examined to ensure U.S. agriculture is not negatively impacted. It was earlier this month, NPPC and more than 125 agricultural organizations also urged USTR to be cautious in making changes to USMCA, which they said has facilitated and streamlined the flow of commerce throughout the three countries. In their letter to USTR, lawmakers pointed out that USMCA streamlined compliance measures and harmonized regulations, thereby generating cost savings for U.S. farmers, producers, and ranchers. Also in the news this week, Deputy Secretary of Agriculture Stephen Vaden addressed a gathering of NPPC members. In a wide-ranging speech, Vaden spoke to USDA's support of proven safety regulations, the need to break down trade barriers for U.S. agriculture, the Trump administration's commitment to preserving farmers' freedom to operate, and finding solutions for the pork industry's unique workforce challenges. Chad Smith, Washington.
Thanks, Chad. And this is the Agribusiness Report.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
This land, there's no more perfect place on earth. It provides more than the crop you grow or the herd you tend. It gives you purpose. And to help young, beginning, and small farmers fulfill their purpose, Capital Farm Credit is here for you. Our decades of experience providing advice, products, and opportunities can help you build a life on the land you love most. To learn more, visit CapitalFarmCredit.com. Capital Farm Credit. Together, we're better.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
My thoughts on the short term, and we're already starting to see it this morning, not even a full day after, a full business day after it was announced. You saw the futures go down.
Hiram Egbert is the founder of the newsletter, The Big Bad Beef Packer, reacting to Tyson's decision to close its Lexington, Nebraska beef packing plant. He has some short-term thoughts.
We would expect that cash, you know, the cash price for cattle is also going to feel some pressure here, especially as we get closer to that January 20th timeline that Tyson put out. So I would expect that we see pressure on the futures. I expect that live cattle, as they start to jockey for those cattle in other plants and other, you know, regions, you're going to see that move around here and likely see negative pressure. But on the flip side, on the beef side, Lexington is not a small plant. And the mere fact that they're taking out production there down to zero, there's going to be a lot of people clamoring for that product that now don't know where to get it. And so you're going to see the cutout come back up. Don't know yet if that's going to be back up to the highs that we hit earlier this year, you know, the 425 on the cutout, but there will be some positive pressure on the cutout to move higher, helping the packer margins in the short term. On the other hand, you know, everybody, as they're jockeying around for product, you're going to see the longer hauls for cattle, potentially higher freight. It'll be interesting to see what that looks like for bid dispersion of what people are paying for those cattle in different regions.
But cash actually in Kansas held steady at 220. So what's in for the long term?
The market is efficient in finding equilibriums. The cattle cycle is something that can't be dismissed. And specifically, just because a plant went down does not mean that the packer is going to see major increases in profitability for a sustained period of time. We're still at a 70-year low in the herd, and we really haven't seen a lot of herd retention yet. This tells me that there's still plenty of pressure, negative profit pressure for packers over the next 2 years. Now, as we try to figure that out as an industry in the packing world, there'll probably be some decent months, but typically the January through April timeframe is the worst profitable months for a packer. So even though you'll see it be better than anticipated, you're still not going to see largely what is needed to be a profitable company for the entire year. Outside of that, it'll be really interesting to see what happens with U.S. tariff policy and what's coming into the country, as that's going to affect largely the cow side of the business, or what we colloquially call the non-fed side of the business. Probably see some negative pressure on trim prices, which will help bring down some ground beef prices further out, but won't really affect this current situation of the fed cattle.
It's Agriculture Today.
When it comes to ag chemical application, make sure your equipment delivers. For years, growers and custom commercial applicators alike have depended on Wiley sprayers and Case IH application equipment from Wiley Implement and Spray Center. Wiley offers new and used self-propelled sprayers, as well as our own line of pull-type sprayers for any size operation. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
Let's talk about Cotton Research. Cotton Incorporated funds more than 400 ag research projects every year. They study cotton, engineering, economic development, entomology, agronomy, pathology, variety selection, expanded cotton seed uses. And that's just the start. You grow the cotton research and promotion program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.